Please turn with me in God's holy word to the book of Acts, chapter 13. We will continue our study together. And we come tonight now to the last section. And we'll start reading in Let's begin reading in verse 32 to the end of the chapter. This is God's very word. "And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Therefore, take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiated and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Thus ends the reading of God's very word. I'm going to ask Elder Eric Schrader, please, to lead us in prayer.
Psalm 145 and sung as well. We are amazed at your greatness and your majesty and your glory and your providence for your people, for loving us and keeping us and providing for us and taking pleasure in us. Lord, we rejoice in these things greatly. We do pray that we might have soft, tender hearts as these Gentiles did in this passage, to listen to your word, to rejoice in it, to apply it to our lives and to it. We pray that that might be the character of our lives as well. And we also, as these people were, be continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Pray you might bless us now as we hear your word preach, that we might glorify you in all things. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Well, Last Lord's Day evening, we finished looking at the application and the response of this apostolic preaching that is recorded here. We saw the application was that they needed to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they needed to take heed to the warning that we see from the book of Habakkuk, that they not follow the example and the judgment that came upon the children of Israel in the days of Habakkuk, that they dare not reject this glorious gospel. It would be to their own destruction. And we see that the people, and as we're going to see, the people here predominantly were the Gentiles, begged that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. There were many Jews in the synagogue here. Verse 43 tells us that when the meeting of the synagogue broke up, that many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas spoke to them and urged them to continue to trust and obey Jesus, to continue in the grace of God. Well, through that week, we know that Paul and Barnabas were very busy. As the book of Acts chapter 20 records for us, that the Apostle Paul, it was his practice to not only publicly proclaim the gospel, but to give instruction from house to house. And so throughout the week, this urging to continue in the grace of God took place. And the whole city was just a buzz. Verse 44 tells us the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. And so you can just imagine if here in Caswell or Bluefield, the gospel burst forth, and instead of meeting in a place like this, we say, look, we've got to go over and we've got to meet in the football stadium because there's just not going to be enough room. The whole city turns out. So the word of the Lord now is being proclaimed to this huge multitude. And we see that this is what we desire and pray for. We pray that not just a few people would come to know the Lord Jesus, but it is our desire here in our own homes and in our own church family, here in Tazewell, just all over the world, for people to hunger for the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at just a few verses of Scripture that tell us that indeed, that's what we ought to be praying for, that this little example here recorded in Acts 13, while we see fierce persecution breaking out after that, this is what we desire, this is what we pray for, not just in one place, but all over the world. And if you'll turn with me, we looked at this psalm this morning in Sunday school, so I'm not going to read as much as we did this morning, but look in Psalm 22, a psalm that begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, where we have focus upon the humiliation of Christ. The end of the psalm focuses on the exaltation of Christ. His being raised from the dead, and what happens after that. From his throne in heaven, before history ends, what's going to happen? Look at verse 27. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. And so we pray for that to take place. We pray that God would grant even a measure of that in our day, even right here, if he would be pleased to do so. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. And here we have a passage that's quoted over in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12. And it tells us that this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice," where? "To the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law." And so here is this picture of the coastlands. And then we've looked recently at Habakkuk 2:14, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we have in Isaiah several passages that remind us of the incredible spread of the gospel. So when we read here in verse 44 and we see many, many people coming to know the Lord Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised. As a matter of fact, it ought to stir us up to pray that God would bring to fruition these promises that we see throughout the scriptures of the gospel going forth. So, in Acts 13, verse 44, we have a huge number of people now in this place that have gathered together to hear the word of the living God, Pisidian Antioch. Well, what happens? Well, there is fierce persecution that breaks out. In verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming." And so as the gospel goes forth to the ends of the earth, as we seek to plant the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own homes and in our neighborhoods and in this town and this county and this state and the other states and this nation and the other nations of the world, more than likely we're going to encounter some opposition. The realm of darkness does not give up easily. But we see that even though the Jews are stirred and filled with jealousy and begin contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming, they're slandering him and his message. These things are not true. Don't listen to these things about Jesus. We don't know the specifics of what they said. What is their response and why? Well, look at verses 46 and 47. "Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.'" Now, there are several things that I want you to notice in verses 46 and 47. First of all, Paul's response is that they spoke out boldly. And there are passages of Scripture where God instructs those who are preachers of the gospel to be gentle and patient, to be those that with great patience would instruct those who don't understand the gospel. But here is an example of the gospel going forth with great boldness. And look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll start reading. Here are some instructions that the Apostle Paul has for the young pastor Timothy. And in verse 23, "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." And while that is true, and there are times when this is what is called for, very patient, careful, gracious instruction, there are also times when the response that is needed is bold confrontation. And you'll notice here in 2 Timothy that these are people who are willing to be taught. These are people who Timothy has an opportunity to teach, that are willing to listen. What we have here in Acts chapter 13, and if you'll turn with me to another portion of Scripture over in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus gives instructions to his people, to the disciples, when he sent them out. And we'll jump down for the sake of time in the middle of these instructions. You'll see in verse 1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And so in verse 6, look at verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, 'Do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. In whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace.'" Now, what is all this? Well, say, "May the Lord bless you." And if they embrace the gospel, then you say, "May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ." They pronounce the benediction upon that house as they leave. But if this is a household that after hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus, then they're to take back their blessing. And in verse 14, "Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And so, you see, you can't just look at one verse of Scripture and say, now this is how God calls his people to respond. In some instances, the call is that we need to be patient, kind, gentle, just hang in there as long as we have an opportunity to share the gospel. But when there is a public rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus calls upon those that are preachers of the gospel to respond with boldness. And so we see in verse 46, "Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles.'" So how should we respond when persecution comes? Well, we ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, to respond either with patience, to continue to have opportunity to share the scriptures, or if that door is closed, to speak boldly, to not allow those who are enemies of the gospel to go without being confronted. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an example here, and we have much to learn. May God make us those who are patient and gentle, willing to be wrong, and also, when need be, bold. Well, the second thing that I want you to notice is this matter of the Apostle Paul talking about it was necessary that the Word of God be spoken to you first. And you remember the Lord Jesus instructed His disciples when He was beginning His earthly ministry, don't go to the Gentiles, but go to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet we see the Lord Jesus Himself giving instruction and telling in His day that because the Jews had rejected Him as Messiah, that the gospel was going to be offered to the Gentiles. Now, this is not something that we ought to be surprised at, because in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul quotes from an Old Testament passage of Scripture proving that this was God's design and intention all along. And another practical lesson that we need to learn from Acts chapter 13, verse 47 is, that those in the New Testament need to be instructed by the Old Testament, rightly understood. And here's the passage. Look at what Scripture says in verse 47. He says, it was necessary that the Word of God be spoken to the Jews first, but since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. And what does He say? And here's how we know that this is the right thing to do. Verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us. For so the Lord has commanded us. And then you have a quote from the Old Testament. And so here's just another example of how in the New Covenant age, the Old Covenant Scriptures still have authority. They still are direction. And the living Word of God, that when they're rightly understood, in other words, they have to be understood as God intended them and as God interprets them in the rest of Scripture. But when they're rightly understood, we ought to pay heed to them. And so we have now this quote from Isaiah chapter 49. And if you'll turn with me back to the book of Isaiah, we read a quote from Isaiah 42. And in the book of Isaiah, towards the end of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 42, actually chapter 40, there are a series of passages called the servant songs. The servant songs. And these really are thrilling portions of Scripture because these are prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are indeed just rich and just full of great encouragement to us. That passage that we read earlier from Isaiah 42 about Jesus not growing disheartened or discouraged until what? He's established justice in the earth. You ever get tired and weary and discouraged when you face difficulties? Well, look to Jesus. He's not going to grow weary. He's not going to grow disheartened until the whole earth has been set right. And that's what keeps us from giving up. We look to Him. And we belong to such a Savior. Well, in Isaiah chapter 49, we see in verses 1 and following another servant song. And sometimes in these servant songs, we see that God's people are involved. But these servant songs do not focus on the nation of Israel corporately. They focus on one particular servant who arises from the nation of Israel. And this is one of those passages. Now, in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword." You remember over in the book of Revelation, what is it that comes out of the mouth of the Lord? It is that sharp, two-edged sword. And so he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory." But I said, "I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. So this isn't talking about the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel is in view here of being the recipients of the ministry of this one particular servant. "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel." He says it's too light a thing, it's too small a thing that you should just rescue Jacob and Israel. That would be, you are too, the father says of his son, it would be too small a task for you just to redeem them. So, what? "I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." So this is the passage that is quoted over here. And the Apostle Paul, he says that because the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world, this great commission that God has given to His church in Matthew 28, we are in the Lord Jesus Christ given the privilege of going in His name and of being the light bearers and carrying the light of the gospel to the dark places, to the remotest parts of the earth. And here we are in Tazewell County, with the privilege of being those that the Lord has commanded to go forth, calling all men everywhere to repent and to believe. Now, there are many passages of Scripture, and we could look at these passages where the Lord Jesus reminds us that He first came to the house of Israel. They were the ones that were privileged to be the nation through whom God would bring the Messiah. What a privilege. What a privilege. Turn with me to the book of Romans. And we'll just look at a couple of verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. "I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons." Think about what God did. He took Abraham, He said, "I'll be a God to you and your seed after you throughout their generations." And so, these Israelites should have been those who gloried in the grace of God. But sad to say, their history was one of thinking that somehow in and of themselves they had merited God's favor. These Israelites to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory. You remember the glory cloud, the manifestation of God's presence? Where did it dwell? In the Old Testament times. Didn't dwell in Babylon. didn't dwell in Germany, didn't dwell in England, didn't dwell in America. It hovered there over the temple and filled the temple in Jerusalem. And the glory, and you remember the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate." The glory departed. God wrote Ichabod. The glory cloud departed. And the covenants, all of the promises of the Old Testament, and the giving of the law, Mount Sinai, and all of the rest of Holy Scripture, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Look what they had. And so, it was their privilege to first hear the gospel. And that's where the Lord Jesus came. He walked among the Jews. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Jewish people were privileged to see. But because they rejected the Son of God in the flesh, the Lord announced in Matthew 21 that He was going to take the kingdom of God away from them and give it to a nation producing the fruit of it. And so, Acts chapter 1, you remember, turn there with me, please, in Acts chapter 1. The outline of the book of Acts, which reflects the teaching of the Old Testament, and there are many, so many passages we could look at. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said about when He cleansed the temple? He reminded the Pharisees and the sellers there that had just made the narthex of the temple a place of just a robber's den, Jesus called it. We know from some of the historians that the motive of the Jews in setting up shop there, selling doves and pigeons and lambs during the feast times, it was not to provide the children of Israel with an easy access for opportunity to worship. The rates that were charged there were just exorbitant. Just incredible, incredible. The motive was, we're going to take advantage of this. And we've got a monopoly here, and we're going to milk it for all it's worth. And we're going to charge 10, 20, 50 times what people could pay elsewhere. And the Lord Jesus castigated them. And you remember what he announced? Keep your finger there at Acts 1 and turn to Mark chapter 11 in verse 17. What was the temple supposed to be? Look at verse 15. Then they came to Jerusalem, and He entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And He would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And He began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer'?" Now, did your Bible say for the nation of Israel? Well, it was that. But it was designed to be more than that, a house of prayer for all the nations. And so the promises of the gospel, even in the Old Testament, were that, yes, it focused first on the glory of God being revealed there in the nation of Israel. But it was not ever intended to be confined to the nation of Israel. And you remember the outline of the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus instructed His disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And so here in Acts chapter 13, we see the Apostle Paul going to the synagogue. There are Jews and Gentiles. The Jews are stirred with jealousy. I have to read one little thing here that one of the commentators said. He said, this is a commentary on the book of Acts by F.F. Bruce. And listen to what he said about the Jews being stirred up in jealousy. He says, during the following week, the Gentiles who had heard Paul's address spread the news through the city to such purpose that on the next Sabbath day, almost the whole Gentile population turned up at the synagogue. And then here's what I want you to notice. Knowing, as we unfortunately do, how pious Christian pew holders can manifest quiet unchristian indignation when they arrive at church on a Sunday morning to find their places occupied by rank outsiders who have come to hear a popular visiting preacher. And so he goes on saying, that just gives you a little insight. These Jews show up and the synagogue is what? Full of Gentiles. I mean, it's just overflowing with Gentiles. Now, what should they have done? They should have rejoiced and said, this is what God promised he would do. And by the way, how I praise God, I don't think I've ever seen anybody here at Trinity get upset when somebody new comes and takes your place. I've seen great joy. People saying, well, you know, I have gotten kind of used to sitting there, but boy, I am just so thankful that so-and-so has started to come. Praise God. Well, these Jews were stirred up with jealousy, but they should not have been. They should have rejoiced that God was fulfilling the promises and the revealed will of Almighty God stated over and over and over, even in the Old Testament. But the Apostle Paul boldly with Barnabas now proclaims in verse 46 of Acts 13, we're back in Acts, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Now you remember over in the Gospel of Luke, where we have the record of Simeon in chapter 2. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And he takes Mary and Joseph, bring the Lord Jesus into the temple to perform what the law said concerning redeeming the firstborn. Male that opens the womb shall be called holy. And so they come to do what God had commanded. And there's this old man, Simeon, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. See, here was a man who he knew the Old Testament promised the Messiah would come. And this old man was looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so we don't know how long he waited. Maybe a day, maybe a month, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years. Scripture doesn't tell us. But God had revealed to him this old godly man who longed and looked to and trusted in the Messiah to come. God, the Holy Spirit, revealed to him he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which was being said about him. But you'll notice there in verses 30 and 31, 32, Simeon understood. that Jesus wasn't just the Savior of the Jews. He was the glory of God's people Israel. But He was the Savior and the light for this whole dark world. Praise God for such a Savior. Well, the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, he says, this promise is a command of Jesus for us to go to the Gentiles. That's what the Old Testament promised Jesus would be. And He's commissioned the church to carry the gospel and make the nations of the world His disciples. And so we're turning to the Gentiles. We've got work to do. And if you won't listen to us, if you repudiate the gospel, contradict it, and blaspheme that precious name of Jesus, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, when the Gentiles heard this, what was their response? They rejoiced. And they said, oh, what marvelous, amazing news this is, that we don't have to become Jews to belong to God. Because you see, that's what Judaism taught. Judaism taught that unless you become a Jew and perform all of the ceremonial laws, you could not be right with God. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Repent and believe in Jesus. That whether you are a Jew or a Greek, you're made right with God on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we read in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the just shall live by faith. And so, when the Gentiles hear that indeed the gospel is open to them, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, this is a very wonderful verse, and we're going to stop there. We're going to pick it up there next week, Lord willing. But verse 48, what should be our response in hearing the gospel? We ought to rejoice. And look down in verse 52. Even though we're going to see there was such fierce persecution that Paul and Barnabas had to leave town, what are the people doing? They're full of joy because they have life with God in Jesus Christ. And by the eye of faith, they see the Lamb upon His throne. And they know that God is going to take care of them and that He is at work spreading His gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and captures your heart and your mind. He gives you joy and gladness. He gives you confidence to live, even in the face of fierce persecution. And so we're going to look at more of this next week. But may God give us great joy. And may we glorify the Word of God. May we be those who glory in the Lord Jesus and hold His Word precious. And so press on, Christian. Continue in the grace of God. May the Lord make us those who pray and yearn and labor to see the gospel go forth. And as we close tonight, we're going to pray for two things. We have the privilege of going to the Pocahontas prison this coming Tuesday night. Pray that God's word would go forth with great power. We have the privilege to go to the assisted living home and preach the gospel this Wednesday afternoon. Pray for the gospel to go forth. We have the privilege as a congregation of having a booth at this wellness fair that's going to take place here in Tassel in a couple of weeks. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to tell people about life in Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord come down with great power and stir and make people hungry for the gospel according to Scripture. And may we see a great harvest of people who rejoice and glorify the word of the Lord, embracing the Lord Jesus. And may the Lord save those that he has appointed to eternal life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, it encourages us as we think about the gospel spreading. Lord, many times we grow tired and weary and discouraged. Lord, as we see the apostles opposed, as we see them contradicted, as we see them slandered and their message slandered, and worst of all, Lord Jesus, your name blasphemed. Lord, we beg that we might not shrink back from the battle in our day. Lord, just because it's difficult. Lord Jesus, you have captured us, and we are not our own. And we beg that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that, oh God, you would give us a heart that beats and throbs for Jesus. And that, Lord, you would give to us kindness and gracious lives, that we would be like you, as we read there in Psalm 145, for our call to worship, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Lord, make us more like you. We also pray that where and when we need to be faithful to you, you would make us bold. And Lord God, as we see the apostles shaking the dust off their feet, we pray, Lord God, that you would make us to be those that are bold and not shrinking back from, Lord, even in the face of fierce opposition, to hold the Lord Jesus high. Lord God, we do pray for the opportunities that you give to us as individuals to live the gospel and speak to people around us of Jesus. Lord, may we do so in as winsome a way as we possibly can. May our lives adorn the gospel with a sweet aroma. Lord Jesus, please have mercy upon us. May our homes be places that know more of the power of Jesus, that just the way that we love each other and treat each other, the world would be attracted to you, Lord Jesus. May our church family be, Lord, full of your love and compassion and mercy, that, Lord, the world would be attracted to you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that not only would you give us grace to live the gospel, but, Lord, open our mouths this week when you give us opportunity to not be ashamed to speak of the Lord Jesus. And then, Father, we thank you that as a congregation we have the privilege. You've opened up doors for us, Lord, to go as a congregation to proclaim the gospel. And we're excited. And we beg that, Lord, you would come down and you would do great and mighty things that cause all of us to stand in wonder and awe of you. Lord, have mercy upon our nation. Lord, we pray that you would reclaim the pulpits of our land. We pray, O Lord, for the conversion of the leaders of our land in business and in civil government. We pray for the conversion of President Obama. We beg, Lord, for mercy. Lord, thank you for your people. Lord, thank you for the joy that we have to serve you together. And we do ask for your tender mercies to be upon those that we've mentioned earlier, traveling, those that have sickness. Lord, may your gospel go forth with great power in and through their lives. And dismiss us now, Lord, with your blessing and your benediction. Lord, how we thank you for your benediction. And we ask for your blessing as we find it over here in Romans chapter 15. And now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.